Thank you for joining us again today. As we've been looking this week at 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll continue, Lord willing, today and tomorrow to look at verse 5 and 6. Primarily, we'd like to look at verse 6 the remainder of the week. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father and our God, again, it's a great privilege to open the Word of God. We thank you that it is the truth and that we have in Christ the way, the truth, and the life. We look at the Word and we ask you to open our eyes and our hearts to understand. We pray, Lord, that all the believers that are listening would be built up in the faith. And we just pray if there be a lost soul listening today that you might convict them with your Spirit and draw them unto yourself. We pray, Father, in Christ's name, amen. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Yesterday we looked at the fact that Christ is the mediator between God and men. And we see that the fact that Christ, being God and came and humbled himself, became man, was obedient unto the death of the cross, to being both God and man, he is the sufficient, the all-sufficient mediator. His present ministry now includes his mediation between God and man. So, when we see that, we can move then on into verse 6, where it says, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. This one that's the mediator between God and men, we see that it was based upon the fact that he gave himself a ransom for all. When he gave himself and he finished the work at the cross, then he was able to go on to the right hand of the Father. And he stated on the cross, it is finished. And the price that had to be paid for our souls was truly finished when he gave up the ghost. And he had paid the price for our sins. And he rose again on the third day, proving that the Father had accepted that perfect sacrifice. The last and only all-sufficient sacrifice for your sins and mine. But when he went to the right hand of the Father, he entered into this present ministry, as we would call it, where he is mediator, where he is high priest, where he is the advocate, where he is the head of the body, and on we see the many things that he is presently doing for those that he lives for his children. But when we turn back to Matthew chapter 20, we can see there, as we'd like to reference two or three points here on the word gave. Christ here in Matthew 20, he's speaking in verse 25, that Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give himself, to give his life a ransom for many. He said he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to serve. He humbled himself as a servant. He was obedient unto the death of the cross. He was the perfect example of a minister. And when we say minister, let's not close that with some clerical title. When we say minister, it's the word to serve. You can serve by being a teacher or preacher of the word, but you can serve also as helping people and by doing the will of God in a broad sense. To minister is not only to preach the word, but to minister is to serve. Now here, it ties in the fact that he came to minister, to the fact that he gave himself a life, gave his life a ransom for many. We'll see that word ransom momentarily in our passage once again in 1 Timothy. But I'd also like to look now in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We see here where the Apostle Paul is speaking about, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Notice what Paul closes with. Who loved me and gave himself for me. That's verse 20 of Galatians 2. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul makes it clear that we live this life as believers, even though we're still in the flesh, we live it by the faith of the one who gave himself for me. Oh, he died for the world. And it says in Ephesians that he died for the body of Christ, the church. But he gave himself for me. He died for you, yet now he lives for you. Think of the tremendous meaning that's in these two verses, verses 5 and 6 of our portion in 1 Timothy 2, that he gave himself for you, yet now he can live and does live for you. And as we've seen, he is our mediator. But we see here also in the pastoral epistles where we're studying these early months of this year, Titus being one of those three books we're going to be tying in together with 1 and 2 Timothy. Over in Titus 2, we see in verse 14, after it speaks in verse 11 of the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Then in verse 12, it speaks that teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Verse 13 tells us that we're looking for that blessed hope and a glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. But verse 14, it ties it all together and says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, to purify unto himself a pure people, zealous of good works. So we see here, verse 11, justification. Verse 12, sanctification. Verse 13, glorification. But it's all tied in together in verse 14 by the fact that he first gave himself for us. He gave himself for us. What a thought. My friend, if you're out there today, and you know not Christ, if you have no peace with God, do you realize that Christ gave himself for us, for the church, and he gave himself for you and me? You know, this is called the substitutionary work of Christ. The little word for, he gave himself for, in the place of. Notice the difference here. When you speak of those that repent, repentant sinners, ones that turn to Christ, we can say that he gave himself in the stead of. He was in our stead when he was upon that cross, there paying for our sins, not his own, that he was in our stead. But when we speak of those who will not repent, as we're back here in 1 Timothy 2, and the statement is, that he was a ransom for all, we see there that when you have the inclusive thought of everybody, that he died for all, this means he died on behalf of everyone. He died on the behalf of unrepentant ones, but he died in the stead of those that will repent. Oh, the option, the opportunity is there for all. As the scripture says, whosoever will may come. He died on your behalf. But my friend, will you receive him and say, yes, he died in my stead. 1 Timothy 2 is our portion, verse 6. Speaking of Christ who gave himself a ransom for all. The word ransom. Think of how when you hear of these terrible situations in the news when someone has been kidnapped or there may be, it might be an individual or it might be some material thing of great price, and there's a ransom put up. You must pay this price to receive back your possession or this person. You know, he was a ransom for all. We've been bought with a price, and the price was the precious, innocent blood of Christ. In the New Testament, those are the two words that describe as adjectives the blood of Christ, precious and innocent. We've been bought with a price. He was a ransom for all. Think back to what this actually means for us. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 21, speaking of those that were Christians, but Paul reminds the Colossians of their past, and you that were once or sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. My friend, through the death of Christ, he reconciled us. We that were enemies to God, he reconciled us. He paid the price to bring us back to God. And finally, let's look at the word all today. Notice in verse 6 it says, who gave himself a ransom for all. If you back up to verse 4, it tells us how God desires that all men to be saved. He desires that, yet we notice the difference between those who is willing to repent and those that will not. And then you back up to verse 2, and when we're speaking in the context of prayer, giving a thanks for kings and for all that are in authority. So let us remember this little word all. We're to pray for all that are in authority. God desires that all men are to be saved, and he gave himself a ransom for all. Again, we'd like to close with that little point that we made earlier. Christ died on the behalf of everyone. But is there one listening today that cannot say, oh, he died in my stead. I know Christ. He's my Savior. My friend, he died on behalf of everyone. But can you say it in a personal way that he died in my stead? Oh, he's paid the price for you. Whosoever will may come. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. We'd just like to close giving our P.O. Box number today, 689 in Ramsour, North Carolina, zip code 27316. Write us if you have any comment or question. P.O. Box is 689 in Ramsour. You've been listening to the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.